Hegel says the pure absolute form is united with matter, objective idealism. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, University of Philosophy here in Campo, California, bringing you Absolute Philosopher. Absolute Philosopher. Interesting phrase, isn't it? When Mr. Hegel was speaking and saying that the pure absolute form is united with matter and is thereby objective idealism, what he was referring to was that all matter exists, and until matter has the ideated form, until matter has the form that it is given by thought, it has no form. It doesn't exist. And of course, that is the absolute form, non-existence. Now, the isness or the ideal form is, again, non-existent. It is merely an idea. It is merely a thought. It is not objective idealism, but it becomes objectified idealism. So when we think about pure absolute form, it gives us a great, you know, freedom to roam however we wish. We can think of ghosts, and we think of ghosts as being non-corporeal, that ghosts do not have form, that ghosts have form, but they don't have a touchable form. But of course, I will take you for a journey into the mind of an artist. And in the mind of an artist, he looks at the objective form, and then he has this non-objective form in his consciousness, and from that he draws the painting or the picture that he is going to present. It's a picture that does not correspond with the objective experience, but it corresponds with objective idealism. It is something very, what would you say, very intense, very difficult to discuss or think about, because to think about anything, we need to have an objectivity to give it a thought form in our world. We can talk about ideas, we can talk about symbols, we can talk about all these various things, and we can say, gee, they're certainly interesting and they're certainly real, but they're nothing because they are so changeable in the mind of everyone who conceives it. Yet in its ideated form, in its ideal form, it is not changeable. It is like the is. It remains the one form always and eternally. Now, we have the privilege of being human beings and being relative beings, and in this being of a relative being, we can create anything we wish. We look at the ideal form, which we all can see, but we don't know we can see it, because the moment we see it, we color it with whatever we feel it is. If I say to you, tree, immediately you think of a kind of tree. You think of a particular variety of tree. You think of it, whether it is naked, without its leaves, or whether it is full dressed with its glorious leaves of summer, or its colorful evening gown of fall, and the beautiful leaves that adorn the tree make it a glorious thing to look at, and it shimmers in the moonlight of the fall as each little leaf drops to the ground, and pretty soon the tree is without its beautiful adornment. But you see, as each leaf leaves the tree, it is a different form. It is a different ideation in the mind of the human relative person. And as each bud begins to burst forth from the tree and burst out into the light-colored leaves, into the darker-colored leaves, and then into the colored leaves later in its lifestyle, we see it totally different. We see the tree in many different forms. And then as spring comes, it shoots out new branches, and it shoots out new stems, It shoots out baby trees all around it where the seeds had fallen, and the mother is nurturing these baby trees that are coming up, these little seedlings, and they're beautiful to look at. Now, as you look at that, you have a totally different picture. See this tree? And it's a seedling tree. And it's just 3 or 4 inches tall, but it has leaves on it, and it has branches, and it has a stem. It has everything that the mama tree has, but in very minute form. And someone says, that's not a tree, that's just a seedling. It's a tree. It's a tree. When you were just a little child, you were maybe 3 months old or 2 months old, people would look at you and they'd say, oh, isn't that a beautiful young woman? Isn't that a beautiful girl? Isn't that a beautiful child? Using all sorts of names for you. But are you indeed a feminine form? Are you indeed a beautiful form? Are you indeed always the feminine form, whether you are a mature feminine form or an infant? Are you a seedling or are you a full-grown tree? And the full-grown tree is not full-grown, is it? Because it constantly is changing. It is dropping off branches, a windstorm comes along and breaks off the tree, and then from its base, new shoots come up, and pretty soon brand new trees form where the old tree was only one stem. And now, that picture is something we can all readily see. And we can see the diversity of that tree, see the diversity of the pattern of that tree, and how each one of us look at it. And if I say tree to any of us, we each come up with a different mental picture of the ideal, of the is. The is a concept. It's a concept of tree, if we will. And as a concept of tree, it is neither one variety or another. And it's neither full-grown or seedling. It is a tree. Does it represent the tree in spring with the buds and the new branches, or the tree of fall with the dancing leaves ready to go out for an evening at the theater? Is it a tree in the summer with its brilliance of the leaves and the foliage so full that the birds come and build their nests in its leaves, and the animals come and make their homes nearby and dig into the roots to have a lovely place to live? Now, you see, its diversity is so broad, and even that is not even beginning to touch what it is. And of course, if you were to say man, it would be even a grander diversity. And if you were to say the universe, you know, a galaxy, you know, to say anything like that, it's even grander. I mean, how do you begin to describe a galaxy? With what are you going to begin to describe it? Are you going to start describing it as a bounded area in which a number of stars exist and coexist and rotate around each other? Or are you going to describe a galaxy as a segment of the universe, a segment of the outer space with its whatever it is? And you see, you have one form. And if I say to you, and you are an astrologer, and I say to you, what about the Pleiades? And you say, oh, yes, instantly. You know exactly how it is. And you're wrong. You're exactly wrong. Because how the Pleiades was a moment before and how it is now is totally different. It is constantly changing. The formation of stars within the format there are constantly changing. And so, no matter what we say, no matter what we think, we haven't the speed of rapidity in ourselves as a human being to encompass all the possibilities that an ideal form, shape, or whatever would have. So the absolute form is united with matter, that's for sure. And it is the objective idealism which makes it not ideal, which makes it completely changeable, changeable, changeable. And this is how our thinking is about ourselves. So, taking this and relating this a little bit to ourselves, how does this help us? How does this help us to be the people we are? How does it help us to open the doors in our consciousness to a grander and grander experience of who we are. How does it help us to see the universe as something beautiful and good? See us as beautiful and good, and see the ever-changingness within us as not binding us, not limiting us, but the ever-changing in us is constantly giving us a new scope to ourselves, a new picture. And so you come up with cancer, for instance, and then right away you say, oh dear. And if instead of saying, oh dear, you just say, that's just a leaf that I'm dropping away, that I no longer choose to have in my life. And then you drop it away and release that so that it no longer is in your life. And it's neither good nor bad. Mm-hmm. And say you have some bad ideas. You have ideas that some things are going to happen or some things are happening that are not pleasant for you. Again, you drop them away like leaves, just letting them flutter away, no longer having impact on your life. But we all have the privilege to have perfect lives as we conceive perfection. And the closer we get to the ideal, the closer we get to the isness of who and what we really are as absolute beings, the more exciting it gets. Because we can just flutter away, like leaves from a tree, any thought that is not beneficial to us. We can just flutter away any concept that comes into our world that's not beneficial to us. And it's tough. It's really tough. Because we forget that. We forget that. We as human beings have the tendency to forget that, like leaves of a tree, we can let our problems drift away and have nothing to do with us. They don't ever have to touch us again. But if we claim them, we reinvent them, we reunite them with our own self, and we have them in our experience. Now, we all have some fantastic things going on in our life. We have challenges that are going on in our life. And these challenges are challenges that we have chosen to give birth to. Now, we can also just let them, like a leaf, flutter away from us and leave no mark upon us whatsoever, if we choose. However, if we reiterate these ideas in our mind, then we give them new birth. And the leaf, once again, is tainted, once again, is sick, once again, is the problem. And this is just fine. But we have to be so very careful, because if we are not careful, we will be our own worst enemy, which is the only enemy we can have. We will be our own creative force, bringing limitation into our life. But let's be like the philosopher Hegel says here, pure absolute form united with matter. Pure absolute form united with matter. And it is objective idealism, but let's work it out to be the objective ism, which is the same thing, the isness. And when it's the objective isness, then we know from its foundation it is perfect. And anything that it shines forth is perfect. And this is who we are. We are perfect. So join with me in this realization today of how perfect we are, how wonderful we are, and what our goal is for ourselves. And we can read and listen to the words of these wonderful philosophers. As Hegel says, the pure absolute form is united with matter. But then he calls it objective idealism, which in a measure of speaking is true. But from our point of view, it's objective isness. And we can understand that very readily. So have a lovely evening. Have a lovely day. Think of these things and know that I am with you always. And I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. That's it.